Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to John chapter 12, and I'll begin reading in verse number 1. And I want to speak to you on the subject this morning, why such a gift? John chapter 12, and beginning in verse number 1. And notice carefully as I read this, the setting that's presented in the first part of the chapter. And then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, and this is the Passover where he was going to be arrested and then tried and crucified. So this is 6 days before Jesus was going to die. Came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, one of my favorite meetings is an eating meeting. But I'm telling you, you had never been to an eating meeting like this one. I mean, Jesus is there. But not only is Jesus is there, Lazarus, who had just died and raised again. I want to tell you, if you was in that meeting and if I was there, I might just forget to eat. Because you wouldn't have a situation anytime better than that. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had to bag and bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your precious word. May your Holy Spirit take the sword of the Spirit and do a work in all of our hearts. Lord, bring conviction where there's sin. Bring encouragement where there's discouragement. And Lord, whatever the need of every heart, I pray that you would minister to it. Give us insight in this, your word, and may it find fruitful lodging in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice verse 3 said concerning this ointment, it was very costly. And then Judas said this could be sold, in verse 5, for 300 pence. How much is that? How many of you got any pences? Now, pennies, nickels, dimes, dollars, $5, That computes in my brain, but not a pence. So you have to do a little study to see how much this was actually worth. Well, in studying the Davis Dictionary of the Bible said it's actually a denarius that's worth about 17 cents. So 300 times 17. How much is that, Donna? No, I'm just kidding. That still don't compute real good. And, you know, back then, there's not just back then, not too many days, money went further than it does now. Have you figured that out? But how much was 17 cents back in the days of Christ? Or how much was a denarius, which is worth 17 cents? How valuable was it? Well, scholars say that a denarius was equal to a common day's laborer for just a laborer, a day's work. In other words, like a blue-collar worker, not a professional, but a blue-collar worker. That's a day's wage. Now, you can sort of figure that. If it's 300 pence or 300 days wages, that's like a year's salary. Well, here's the thing. The annual average income in Tennessee for a blue collar worker is just over $35,000. The minimum wage now is $7.25, or about $15,000. So, and you say, could perfume actually be worth that? Yes. There are some today that's, I mean, way in the thousands of dollars for an ounce. Of course, to buy it, you got more, you know, you got more money than you got cents. But yes, it was that valuable. So to sort of put it in a way we can get a hold of it. If you don't think that's a big gift, figure up your annual salary and write the check and drop it in the offering today. That's a big gift. That is a very big gift. And let me just say a couple of things about what she gave. What she did was not mandated or not commanded. Nowhere in the Bible do you find someone commanded to just give that big of a gift. Nowhere do you find Jesus saying to her, I want you to go home and I want you to get that ointment and I want you to anoint me with it. I want you to give it. Nowhere was she commanded. You know, a lot of times people say, well, you just can't show me in the Bible where it says I need to do that. Listen, if that's the way you operate, you're just not operating right. What she did was not following the letter of the law, but what she did out of love. Not only that, but what she did was misunderstood and criticized. Why was this poured out on Jesus like this? Why wasn't it sold and given to the poor? Now, the problem is, in this passage of Scripture, we know it's Judas that's saying that. And we understand why Judas is saying that. But listen to this. In Mark 12:4, that's dealing with the same situation, it says, and there were some, not just Judas, there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? She was misunderstood and criticized by the best of God's people. It wasn't just Judas. Some of the other disciples joined in. I found out a long time ago, a lot of times some very good people can be led astray by some bad people. In fact, a lot of good people can make some bad decisions. I hate to admit it, but I've made one or two. And so she was misunderstood. She was criticized. Let me say this. If criticism will stop you in the work of God, you're not going very far. I don't know if you found out or not, but everybody's not going to pat you on the back and praise you. And sometimes, even folks you've got a lot of confidence in can cut you and hurt you with their words and what they say. So if it wasn't commanded, if she was misunderstood and criticized, if it was a monumental size gift, why did she give it? Why did she give such a gift? And I want to give you three reasons, I believe, right quick. First of all, I believe she gave what she gave because of what she believed. What you believe will dictate what you do. A lot of folks can say, you know, I believe in the Lord and I believe He's God and I believe He's my Savior, but somehow or another their actions don't exactly line up. Exactly what did she believe? You can look back in chapter 11, verse 27, when she said, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." She believed He was the Lord, that He was God. And because she believed that, that helped to motivate her to give such a gift. And believing Him to be God or be Lord, she believed that He had the power over disease. If you were diseased, how much would you be willing to give to someone who had the power over disease? If you don't think you'd give a good bit, look at your last doctor bill or your medicine bill. Cancer medications can go as high as $50,000 a year. AARP reports that the average cost of cancer treatment is $150,000. Some cancer medications can go anywhere from $375,000 to $475,000. If you had lost your health, what would you give to have it back? She believed He had power over disease, and so that gift is certainly in line with someone who had that kind of power. Not only that, but she believed He had power over death. Because in John chapter 11, verse 32, then Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, and she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, "Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And she knew that Jesus had the power to keep him alive, and before the chapter's over, she believed He had the power to raise him from the dead. If all of a sudden, and I've been with my closest friend when he visited a doctor and he was told he had cancer, and when he asked how much time, he said months. If you had just days, what would you be willing to give for another month, another year? Jesus had power over death. And so, why she gave such a gift? Because of what she believed. He was God. And being God, he had power over disease. He had power over death. But she also gave what she gave because of what she had received. What had she received from the Lord? In Luke chapter 10, verse 30, it says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. In Matthew 21, 17, it says, and he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Have you ever had the presence of someone that you really considered, my, that was a valuable experience in my life to spend with them? But listen, she had the wonderful experience of having Jesus in her home. Now, I've enjoyed the company and presence of a lot of people, and some people that I really enjoyed, and some of them are gone now, and I'll never have that experience again. And I'm sure you're like that too. But to just think, have Jesus at your home and to sit at his feet and learn. How much is that worth? Well, to sit at a professor's feet can cost about $30,000 a year in a college. And some of you perhaps have pieces of paper on your wall that you gave thousands of dollars saying that you sat at some professor's feet. And supposedly, it was worth it. Donald Trump, speaking at the Learning Annex, received $1.5 million per speech in 2006 and 2007. If sitting at his feet was worth that, what would it be worth to sit at Jesus' feet? She gave what she gave because of what she had received. She had received his presence. But not only that, she had received his power. The Bible says in John 11, 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. What would it be worth to you to have a few more hours, days, or weeks to spend with that dear loved one that departed suddenly? And you didn't get to say what you wanted to say. You didn't get to do what you wanted to do. And they're gone. And those opportunities will never be there again. What would it be worth to have that time recalled? My dad was the strongest in character, determination, a he-man, greatest I ever knew, as far as a man of courage. He fought on the front line in World War II. And in my growing up on the farm, if I ever said can't, he'd bow up and he'd say, Ricky, don't you ever say can't. Can't never could do nothing. But in his latter life, he had two heart attacks. Open heart surgery. And after the last, he developed kidney infection, staph infection, and went into septic shock. We didn't know it, but he suffered brain damage. And after he got back home, he just sat there. And he never just sat. But he would just sit there. He looked good, and we had him checked out every way we could check him out, and everything was fine. And then we found out he had suffered brain damage and then developed dementia. And you'd say to him, Daddy, let's go here. I don't feel like it. I can't. Daddy, why don't you just get up and walk around? I can't. A reversal of the dad I knew. And he became too much for my mother to take care of, and so we had to put him in a nursing home. And someday he would know me, and someday he wouldn't, and someday he was very active, and other days he wasn't, and some days he was sort of easygoing, and some days hostile. And I remember I called Mother on a Sunday night, and I knew that she always visited him after church on Sunday. And I said, Mother, how'd everything go today? And she said, Ricky, you'll not believe it. But he was just like the old Vade. He said, we talked about things we'd done and things that happened years ago, and said he just sat there and held my hand and said, he was so clear, I couldn't believe anything was wrong. And said, I so enjoyed it. And I said, well, great, I'll go see him tomorrow. And I got busy doing this and that and the other, and you know how time will just get away, and it did. And I didn't go as planned. Oh, I did go after they called and said, your dad has been taken to the hospital and he's passed away. What would I give to have just that one day back? And some of you are the same way. Hey, she not only had one day, but she had her brother brought back to life and had days and days with him. I can understand why such a gift, can't you? One other reason I believe she gave such a gift, because of what she believed, because of what she received, and last of all, because of what she perceived. Well, what did she perceive? Verse 1 says it was 6 days before the Passover. Verse 7 says, Jesus said, let her alone, against the day of my burying has she kept this. She was preparing him for the burial. I hate to admit this, especially in the pulpit, because she'll feed it back to me sometimes, perhaps, but so many times a female of the species are a whole lot more perceptive than the men. Jesus had been telling his disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. But as far as the disciples, just right over the head. And they kept saying, can I sit on your right hand? Can I sit on your left hand? When are you going to set up your kingdom? They didn't get it. But Mary got it. She knew two things. Jesus was soon going to die. And this was very well the very last time she'd see him again. Not only did she know he was going to die, but Mary knew he was dying at her place for her. Why such a gift? She gave a monumental gift because of the monumental grace she had received. I think I can understand why such a gift. Can't you? Many years ago, and you may have heard of this particular person, but a fellow by the name of Quantrell was operating in Missouri. And he and his gang were raiding houses and attacking the soldiers, the troops, the Union soldiers and troops. And finally, Quantrell and his men were captured in southern Missouri. And the soldiers brought them out and lined them up. And in that early morning, you could hear the voice booming, "Ready, aim!" And about that time, the bushes rattled, and out come a young man. And that young man said, "Sir, please, let me take that man's place." And the officer said, "Son, do you understand that man is fixing to die?" And he said, "I understand that." And he said, "The truth is, I'm just as guilty as he did, as he is, but you just didn't catch me. I have no one dependent on me. He has a wife and four children. Let me take his place." He thought about it. He looked around and said, "If nobody objects, okay." So they made the switch. And then you could hear him, "Ready, aim, fire." And that young man fell with the rest of them. And that man took him, dug him a grave, put the dirt over it, and remembered where it was. Years later, someone saw a man parting some grass on an unkempt grave and putting a little marble stone at the head. And he said, "This family?" "No." "Is it a friend?" He said, "More than a friend. He died for me." And he told the story. And then he saw on that little marble stone this inscription: "Sacred to the memory of Willie Lear, he died for me." Many years later, this man had become rich, but he never forgot the man who took his place. And he erected a 15-foot monument that said, "Sacred to the memory of Willie Lear, he died for me." Willie Lear didn't die for me, but Jesus Christ did. And what I do and how I live should be a monument to the life and death of Jesus Christ for me. What did she give? And why did she give it? She gave it because of what she believed. Does what you give the Lord reflect what you believe? Because of what she had received. What have you received? As Elizabeth sang, "He's been so good to me." Every breath that I've breathed, everything I've ever had, he gave me. And because of what I perceived. Now, she knew it was coming, but you and I know what happened in the past. And so we ought to give as a sacrificial monument to the glory of God. Let's stand together for prayer. Brother Will, would you come and conclude as you see fit?
I'm going to ask my friend to come, play a song of invitation for us, but Christ has given his life for us. As he was talking, preaching there, I was thinking about, we might be able to give her money, but something more valuable than money is us. We can give ourselves. And truth is, we're pretty stingy with that most of the time. Paul said, I'm a living sacrifice. I die daily. Things like that over and over. No. I want to challenge you today to give yourself to Christ. Maybe today you've never been saved. I want to first say, you need to give your life to Christ. You need to believe on what he's done and be saved. But hey, you're here today and you're saved. You need to give yourself. Each and every day. You need to surrender. Walk in the Spirit. All them things. You need to surrender to him. You know what? You have to pay a price. You have to say, not my will, but your will, or God's will. And she begins to play, and God spoke to your heart. I want to challenge you to come to the altar today.